Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome everybody to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
I'm BJ.
And today's episode, we are talking about the Adventures of Dai manga, Dai no Daiboken, which BJ has started reading, and I have very little experience with. So it's going to be interesting. I'm going to let BJ tell me and everyone else all about it. So in today's episode, BJ is going to take the lead, and I'm going to try to not step on his feet while we're dancing.
This is it's a really interesting thing because, like, last time we did a manga episode, it was because no one wanted to hear about it, and we called it our spiteful manga episode because we did a poll, and it seemed like none of you people out there wanted to hear us talk about Dragon Quest Monsters Plus. And at that point, when we did it, like, you had read a significant amount more of Monsters Plus than I did. And then this time, I've read a lot more of Dai than you have. So it's funny to have it go back and forth. But what actually got me to read this one was Dragon Quest Monsters Plus. I finally went back and finished up the first volume of it and then started in on this because at DragonQuestManga.com, somebody, I don't even know who the person is that runs the site, put up all 349 chapters of the Adventures of Dai manga for people to read for free. And so somebody shared this on Twitter, and it was scans of the fan translation that I could just read by scrolling through on my Kindle Fire. So it was incredibly easy and accessible to do. So it wasn't a pain to get to, like a lot of fan translation stuff is. And what you had read wasn't from this site, was it? Like, the fan translations that you've read were completely different than this.
I don't know if they were different fan translations. It was a different website. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I used Manga Rock, I believe. I don't know. Okay. There's an old episode of DQFM from, like, it may have been the Spiteful Manga episode last year, but there's one where I'm talking about how I had read, like, the first three volumes of Dragon Quest Monsters Plus, and while I was waiting on the next two volumes to come out, I had started reading fan translations of Dai and Emblem of Rodo.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure it was MangaRock.com was what I was using. I think a lot of that stuff got taken down, though.
I think it did. And I know recently there's been a whole lot of stuff with Kiss anime having been taken down that people claim copyrights on all the videos that were there. So there's been a real crackdown on a lot of the more potentially illegitimate content out there, and that sucks for fan translations. But as of right now, as of us saying this on the episode this week in 2020, the DragonQuestManga.com is still up because I checked it this morning.
Cool.
Now, it is an old manga. It actually comes from 1989, so it is ancient.
Oh, is that a dig at me?
It is. That's a dig at you because you were born in this manga is actually a month older than you are.
Oh, wow.
It started out in October of 1989. So Dai is only 1 month older than you.
Yeah.
But it ran to 1996, and it wasn't originally supposed to. Weekly Shonen Jump did it, and from what I understand about it, it was kind of a one-off promotion kind of thing. It was like, Dragon Quest is popular, we have this story to tell, and so they were gonna put it out 6 to 12 issues, I think, or chapters, and they did, and it was incredibly popular. Like, people ate this up. Like, it was crazy, crazy popular. And so when they went back to figure out what they were going to do, it was like, well, we've ended this story. What do we do? Like, we have told this one small thing, but it has an ending. And so they had to actually completely redo the structure of what how they were telling the story. So it like lasted another like 330 chapters after that. Like, it was insane all the way up to 1996. And right now, as far as I know, we only have fan translations of this. There hasn't been any kind of official translation of Dai. And it makes me sad because it's really good. Like, this is the longest I've ever been able to last reading any kind of fan translation on anything. But this story is actually interesting. And it is very much a Dragon Quest story about a hero, about a chosen hero kind of, but it's also super, super, super different from anything we get in the games too. It feels almost like a Dragon Quest Monsters kind of story because he was raised by monsters. It's really cool.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
My favorite character is actually a golden slime who is kind of an instigator, not even an instigator, a catalyst, really, because it's super rare. It's a flying golden slime named Goma. And they just fly around going pee, 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 pee. And I love it. I don't know why I love it so much, but just how silly it is. And it's great. Like, I hope that in the Dai games that we're getting later this year, that we have Goma in it too.
Mm-hmm. So you're much more familiar with this than I am. So I don't know, what's the name? Goma? Is that what you said?
Goma, it's G-O-M-E.
Goma?
So just based on the little bit I know about Japanese pronunciation, I think it's Goma.
Yeah, cool. I'm going to look it up right now because I actually don't know if I've ever seen a picture of Goma. Oh, yeah. Okay, yes. I've seen Goma before.
Like, really, really cool. Like yeah. It's just a fun little, like, familiar that goes around with them, but it's, like, super rare and saves people occasionally. Like, I really, really like it. What's interesting is that, like I said, this was one of the only fan translations I've ever been able to stick with, but I still get unbelievably irritated at it being a fan translation. And, I mean, these people who do this, Digital Ocean or something like that, that they do it?
Square Ocean.
Digital Ocean is a hosting company. The Square Ocean who does this was a group of high school students. Like, when they started doing this, and I don't even know what year they started doing the translation, but they were in high school because some of the notes that they have are talking about going back to school and having tests and midterms and stuff. And from the way it sounds that they're talking about, it seems like it's high school more than it is college. And so it's really, really impressive to me that they were able to do it. But it's also got that same problem that amateur translators have. And this is, me being the English teacher and looking at translation and adaptation for so long, that they do a pretty literal translation of the Japanese. Mm-hmm. And so it comes across as having a very weird tone in English because they will translate the profanities into F-bombs. And having a villain just start screaming an F-bomb at the Dragon Quest hero is very, very weird to me. And while that may be the intensity of the Japanese curse or swear or expletive that's being used there, in English, that's not what Dragon Quest has felt like, just in terms of that atmosphere through the official translations. And so it, as a fan translation, it feels odd. And Dai himself will say some things, and nothing bad. Like, the villains are always the ones who have the stronger language. But it hits me as, like, you don't really hear, because we have silent heroes generally,
right?
Like, the hero getting frustrated and swearing because he's losing or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a completely different take for me on how Dragon Quest is approached.
I could totally see that. So for the uninitiated, such as myself here, the main character, his name is Dai. It's also been translated into Fly, and it's actually appeared as translated anime in other countries, right? And he's called Fly.
And I don't know. Okay, you can probably tell me this because I can't figure it out. Like, when he's translated into Fly, into other languages, is that a fan translation of the anime? Or is that that? Because all of this was adapted into an anime that came after, that came, well, came during the manga run. So was it officially translated into like Spanish as Fly, or is that a fan translation into Fly?
No. So my understanding from talking to my like various friends in the like Dragon Quest Spain community is that it was an official translation. It was like, it was a Saturday morning cartoon type thing where you, you know, you'd wake up, you'd eat your breakfast cereal, and on TV there's, you know, the adventures of Fly. And for a lot of people that I interviewed specifically from Spain for my book, it seemed like a lot of people, that was their first introduction to Dragon Quest, was by watching the anime. Because, you know, European countries didn't get an official Dragon Quest release until, I believe it was Dragon Quest 8. And even 8 in Europe didn't have the number 8 with it because they didn't want to confuse people because, you know, they hadn't been releasing Dragon Quest games there. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so 8 wasn't included. You'd know that if you read my book, but
I actually haven't read all of it. I flipped through and read individual chapters and stuff. I haven't read it straight through, so I must have missed that part.
Yeah, so it was interesting because it seemed like a lot of people in Europe and Spain in particular kind of were introduced to Dragon Quest because of this cartoon that a lot of people even said that they didn't know it was. They didn't even know Dragon Quest was like a video game or anything like that. They just thought there was this show. And I don't think the show like finished. Like, I think it was just kind of like they translated it and brought it over, but I don't think it like reached a conclusion or anything. Mm. But yeah, that was their exposure to Dragon Quest. And then later on found out, you know, they're like, oh, hey, what's this game? Dragon Quest Journey of the Cursed King. And they're like, oh, cool. This looks like the slimes and the monsters from the Fly anime. And then, you know, it kind of opened up that whole Dragon Quest world to them that way.
And that's so weird to me because I hate the name Fly because I didn't grow up on it like that. So I see things in the names in, you know, Japanese, and I see Dai and Papu and things like that, and they're translated into Fly and Hop. And I'm like, but that's not their name. Like, I'm that guy on this one where I'm like, I it drives me nuts when I see them because it's like, even though those are the official ones, I'm really curious on what they're going to be called in the, if we get translations of the new ones, mm-hmm. of the new anime that's coming this fall, to air in Tokyo, and then the games as well. I'm curious if it's going to be Fly and Hop or Die and Pop. I don't know why that made me giggle.
You sound like a Dr. Seuss book.
I do.
I'm not sure. I mean, I would assume that it's like Die and Pop and all the other ones, but yeah, I don't know. So one thing I wanted to talk about too is, so these guys, they're all the main characters, at least they're the disciples of Avon, as in like Avon Strash. So,
yes.
So what are the disciples of Avon?
So not all of them are disciples. Dai actually studies under Avon, who he's a hero. It turns out, spoiler alert, that Avon was the hero who stopped the demon lord last time, and now that he is coming back, that we need to train other heroes. So he is going around and basically graduating and certifying other kind of heroes in training, so that they can use his style to fight evil. And so they're the disciples of Avon that always come, like, he meets different ones throughout the world as he travels, and like Pop is one of them, and like that's how they meet. And then like Leona is a princess who comes through, and it's just like there's a whole thing. And then that's how he keeps on learning. It's like he keeps practicing all of these, the principles that he learns from Avon, and learns the Avon Strash and different kinds of abilities. And so there are some that are stronger in different areas than others.
Okay, I gotcha. Cool. And the bad guy, last week we talked about Dragon Quest Religion, and we're talking about demon lords.
Right.
And the bad guy in this one is a demon lord, too.
Demon Lord Hadlar, or Hudlar, yeah, Hadlar. Hadler? I don't know. But he is just a pretty generic demon lord.
Yeah, he looks like your stereotypical kind of Toriyama bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. But one thing that's really interesting is that more than him, he has what these regiments in his demon army.
Just so you know, when you said regiment just now, I thought in my mind you said regimen, so I was picturing Demon Lord Hadlar just popping like vitamins.
He does. He has his he has to take his vitamin D for demon. no, but he has all of these different regiments in his demon army, and it's like the 100 Beast Regiment and the Undead Knights Regiment, the Ice and Fire Demon Regiment, the Sorcerer Regiment, the Super Dragon Regiment. Like, that's what they're listed at on Wikipedia, and I can't remember how the if they're like that in the manga that I read, but I know they have these really kind of awkward regiments, and they're referred to as that. Like, I'm the leader of the Shadow Regiment in Hadlar's demon army, and things like that, where it comes across as very awkward and hokey. And but those are the ones that have the really interesting characters in them, because I think it's Hyunkel, I think is how his name is. He was a human who got adopted by a skeleton knight, and he got like, and then Ivan came in and was attacking the demon lord, killed his adopted parents after the monsters killed his real parents, but he loved his monster parents. And so now he is trying to kill Ivan. He's now fighting Dai as the leader of the demon knight army or undead army or something, like regiment of the army. And so like, he's interesting, and like, there's really cool powers there, but they're way more interesting than the demon lord himself.
So just you mentioning this, so what's up with the names? Because we've got Pop and then Mom, I assume, M-A-A-M, Mom.
Right.
So you have Pop, Mom, you have Hunkel, who just sounds like Uncle. So you have Pop, Mom, Uncle, and Leona.
Right. In Japanese, I mean, that's what they are. You've got Mamu, Papu, Dai, Hyunkeru, and Riona. So, I mean, it's Aban, Goma, and Kurokodain. And it's like very strict and literal translations for the most part. Like, Hyunkel is a really weird name in English, where maybe in Japanese it's not, but they actually like go through the different parts of translation in the fan translations on why they made the choices they made for spellings and different kinds of translation, like standardization across it. So that kind of thing really is interesting.
Yeah, I wanted to mention this character kind of stood out to me. Crocodine. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I think it's Crocodine, just based on the way it was in Japanese. But yeah, Crocodine in my head is
Crocodine.
Crocodine.
Yeah, looks super cool.
He is a big pink crocodile. I mean, how could he not be cool?
Yeah, it reminds me, I think we've talked about it on this show before, but he has that Saturday morning cartoon vibe, kind of like the cowboys of Mumesa and like Street Sharks, you know?
Yeah, he feels like a Ninja Turtle villain, like that.
Yeah.
Like one of those giant anthropomorphic animals that looks just cartoony enough to be fun and scary.
I like him.
I like him too. Like, you spend a lot of time fighting him, like Dai fights him, and like there is, like, he even comes back later. Like, he was so, I don't know if he was so popular, but I know that it's fun when he comes back too. So I really like Crocodine, and I didn't know that he was pink, like, until I'd like looked up the anime. I had no idea that he was pink, so I'm just seeing this giant crocodile monster. I'm like, oh, it's a big green crocodile monster. Then I see a picture of him, and I'm like, oh, you big and pink. I was like, so it has that Saturday morning cartoon feel to it a lot more once you realize that he is a big pink crocodile.
So we've got more Dai stuff coming up to still talk about in today's episode. But this seems like a really great time to have some shameless self-promotion.
shamey, shameless. Tell them about stuff.
Oh, I liked that one. I like the end to that. Tell them about stuff. We should you should incorporate that into the theme song more. I like that. So we have a Patreon page, and this week I'm going to let BJ tell you guys about it.
So our Patreon page is there for you guys to support us at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. We've got really cool stuff like stickers, and you can subscribe and tell us what you want us to talk about, which is always fun to know what y'all want to hear about. If you stick around with us for a year, we send you something. Right now we're sending out Dragon Quest FM mugs to people who have been with us a full year, and we're not sure what will be coming next, but we got all sorts of cool stuff like Discord roles and stuff like that on the Geek to Geek Media server. So definitely check it out at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM.
And I also wanted to mention during shameless self-promotion that I have another podcast. I honestly don't know if I've ever mentioned it on this show. Like, I think I might have when it was brand spanking new, and I forget to mention it every single week whenever we're like signing off and everything. Like, you always mention your other podcast, and I never think to mention my other podcast. So before I forget again this week, I just want to mention that I have another podcast. It's called JRPGs and Me, and it's where me, Austin, talks about JRPGs. And it's kind of like an extra limb, I guess, to Dragon Quest FM, because sometimes we're talking about Dragon Quest on the show, and then maybe all of a sudden I bring up like Xenoblade Chronicles. And so then that week on JRPGs and Me, I talk about Xenoblade Chronicles, or this past week, the newest episode that's up. I talk about Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch. So it's just really fun. I get to talk about JRPGs that kind of fit outside of Dragon Quest, although, of course, I bring Dragon Quest up almost every single episode because it's a complex. But yeah, it happens. So please be sure to check out JRPGs and Me wherever you listen to podcasts.
And it's very similar, isn't it, to the way you did the quarantine cast in terms of diving into a specific topic like that?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it kind of started off with me doing, when I was doing daily quarantine casts, I talked about other things other than Dragon Quest on there. And a lot of times I would focus on a JRPG because that's mostly what I play. So this was kind of like, instead of doing it every single day after that ended, I was like, you know, maybe I should do this podcast. And it's a bi-monthly podcast. So get two episodes every month. And it's been a lot of fun so far. There's about 8 or 9 episodes up right now. So I'm having fun with it. I hope people will check it out.
I'd seriously tabbed directly into this last night when you got to other freaking podcast. So I just watched you type in other freaking podcast called JRPGs and Me, You Buffoon. Like, I saw that in real time and I was dying laughing.
I mean, every week we finish up and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't mention this. So
it was just so funny because it was perfect timing for me. I would also like to mention that Sam Steele is a really, really cool dude. Sam Man of Steel on Twitter messaged us and said that a shop near him had Dragon Quest VI for the DS at a very affordable price, that in the UK it is not going for the absurdly crazy American prices. So he was fantastic enough to buy me a copy of this and ship it to the United States. And so I want y'all to know that Sam is a really, really, really cool guy, and I appreciate him as a human being. So thank you, Sam. You are awesome.
And I wanted to mention this in today's episode because I feel like you found this. So last week you tweeted out that you found like a copyright thing for DQ Tact, right?
Trademark, actually.
Okay, trademark.
I was searching through the United States, it's TESS, T-E-S-S, but it's the trademark database for what has officially been applied for as a trademark in the U.S.
Yeah, so I saw where you said that. Didn't hear really much else about it. And then this morning I woke up, recording on Wednesday, and this morning I woke up, some like fairly, I guess, semi-major video game outlets are reporting on that now.
Oh, really?
You had them beat by like a week.
Oh, I didn't even like, I saw something about that. Like, somebody had like tweeted to me, like had replied to it, but I had not actually seen, like, I didn't pay attention to who it was.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to brag on you, I guess, for, or whoever sent you that info, for finding that way ahead of the curve, because this morning when I woke up, was drinking coffee and was scrolling through Twitter. There were like several, what is it, like Silicon Era?
Oh, was it? Was Silicon Era one of them?
Yeah, that were like, hey, DQ Tech gets a trademark for the U.S. That was like from this morning. And
yeah,
I was like, oh man, that's old news. BJ told me about this last week.
It's true. I did. It was, I'm looking at it right now. I pulled up the trademark thing. It's for Dragon Quest Tact, for downloadable computer game software, recorded computer game software, all the stuff, you know, providing amusement facilities. It also has dolls, toys, figures, plush toys, computer game guidebooks, all of the stuff that, you know, goes into when you trademark something like this. And it was filed for on July 14th, 2020. So it's a new thing. That was done. So it's not something that we have missed over the few months since, you know, we got Tact announced and they did the giveaway and all of that. So this is a new thing that has only been done within the last month of us recording this. So it's going to be really cool. I'm crossing my fingers. This means that we're going to get this in the United States.
Yeah. And I'm a little skeptical because, I mean, you know, registering trademark doesn't mean it's guaranteed to come over here. And no. Also, now that you've told me that date, that was the date it released in Japan. So to me, it seems more just like Square Enix kind of covering their butts and trademarking it everywhere.
Oh, was that the release date for it in Japan?
July 14th, 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not realize that that was that. But yeah, so it's there at the very least. So I'm glad to know that I was ahead of the curve on that one. So take that, Silicon Era. Bam.
All right. Let's get back into Adventures of Dai. Talking about the manga, talking about some other stuff outside of the manga. You said that there's an anime. We've mentioned it briefly earlier in this episode.
Right.
And you said that anime started in 1991.
Yes, it started in 91, so it was right, you know, pretty soon after it got really popular and they started doing the continuous serial story. Mm-hmm. Like, the first bit of the Dai manga is standalone. Like, you don't have to know anything other than what is in that, because it was basically a pilot. Like I said, it wasn't going to be something that was long term. So in 91, they did a 46-episode run of this anime, and I honestly don't know if there are fan subs out there, if there are subtitles translating this into English. I meant to ask Ryan Molina about this before I got on here, but I honestly forgot. So Ryan, let me know. And but I do know that there are new Blu-rays that came out in June this year of this, where they've remastered them and put them out in HD.
Ryan has those, right? That's why you were going to ask.
Ryan has those.
Which, yes. He said, I believe he said that there was not English subs on that, but there could be fan subs, I guess.
Right. There may be fan subs. There are not official English subtitles or translation of the anime. And that is as of June when they did the newest release of them. They are expensive to import right now. Otherwise, I actually would have them because they're really, really cool. And even in Japanese, you can see, I mean, Dai is not a complicated story. It is honestly really similar to how any of the Dragon Ball stories go along. I mean, it's a lot of fighting, it's some character development, and then more fighting. So it's, I'm assuming the anime is the same. So I'd like to watch these in HD, but I don't want to pay like the $150 that I've seen them recently for now that they're released and people are actually exporting them to the States. So like, I want to see that. But there is a new one also launching in October, like that is not related to the old one. The new Dino Daiboken is coming out in Japan in October, and I know they said that it was launching in Tokyo. I don't know what channel, but I'm pretty sure that just the announcement was that it was going to be on something on a channel in Tokyo in October.
Okay.
If I'm remembering right.
Yeah, that is probably true. So right now, it's unsure if it's not, you said it's not a continuation, but we don't know if it's a reboot where they're focusing on retelling some of the same stories, Or
I don't know if it's a continuation. Like, I know nothing. I haven't seen any context for what it is. Like, none of the news reports that I've personally seen actually give any detail about what the new series is. If somebody else has seen some, please send it to me, because I've not found it.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I assume, going back to one of the other things you said, I assume that the new one will air on TBS. Very funny. No, a different TBS, Tokyo Broadcasting System.
Okay.
Because that's
I was like, what?
That's what the original one aired on. The original one aired on TBS, but it's not our TBS. It is not the Turner Broadcasting System.
I was like, it's not going to be airing between episodes of Monk.
Yeah, that's USA.
I don't know. I actually don't know.
If it were TBS,
reruns
if it were
of Home Improvement, maybe?
It'd be like Friends and like American Dad.
Okay, all right. See, I haven't had cable in so many years, I can't remember what TBS actually shows.
Yeah, I think this is a tangent, but last time, I haven't had cable in a number of years either, but last time I checked, there was USA, which had like your Monks and your Burn Notices, and then there was TNT, which was all about drama, you know, that's your Law and Order, NYPD Blues.
Forgot about TNT.
And then you have TBS, which is where the comedy goes, and so that's where you get like reruns of like Friends, An American Dad.
Conan O'Brien. He's on TBS, isn't
he? Yeah, Conan airs on TBS. Yeah, you are correct.
So that would be the... Die would be the lead-in to Conan. Like, that's what... He needs that.
Fools! I saw the DM! See, that's what... That's how that text I sent you when I saw that it was a typo that said fools. That was the voice that I pictured. The Conan O'Brien.
I know. I could hear it.
So there's some games, too, coming out. We did an episode kind of talking about that and reacting to that back when we got all that big news earlier in the summer. Infinity Strash, which, you know, you complained about at the time, but now that you understand the meaning of the word Strash, are you okay with that title?
It still bugs me just because of the word Strash in English, but I mean, they actually talked about that in the translation notes for the manga, that it was Oven Slash at first, and then they went back and looked at it, and it was Strash because of the combination of strike and slash, and the word that they used for it, that the writers used, was Strash, and so that is what the actual word is Strash. And then even in Jump Force, when you're playing as Dai, you can Avant Strash people. So like, I Avant Strash Goku, and it is officially translated into Strash, so I don't get to complain anymore. I'm just getting used to it now.
And you bought Jump Force just so you could play as Dai, right?
Yes, I did. I bought Jump Force just so I could play as Dai. Like, I like the anime, or I like the manga enough to actually spend, I think it was $15 or $20 when it was on sale on Steam. And I bought the game just to be able to see what Dai was like in it. And he's fun to play. Like, the game is really good. Like, I really, really like Jump Force. I don't actually have a background in a lot of the characters. I know some of them, but like, I don't actually know One Piece. And that's a big part of it as well. So it's like, I miss out on that part, but all the Dragon Ball stuff I get. So I'm like, okay, I like Dragon Ball. I can know this area here. And but it's fun. Like, it's a lot of fun. And I totally, totally like playing as Dai. Like, you can dive right in on dive right in.
Huh? I was thinking that when you said dive, in my mind, it was spelled D-A-I-V-E.
No, it wasn't. I didn't intend that one, but it was like, huh? But you can dive right in. Once you get through the tutorial stuff, you can actually go into the levels that let you pick Dai as a character. So from the very beginning, like, I was like, yep, that's what I'm playing. Like, I like him.
Yeah.
So I often thrashed Goku on purpose.
I think it's interesting because, you know, I love the Dragon Quest games. And so most of my knowledge of Dragon Quest comes from just the games, whereas a lot of the extra stuff like Dai and you know, Emblem of Rodo, that kind of stuff, it's kind of a blind spot for me. So it's interesting to me that you really respond to that. Like you're way more into like all the side stuff than I am, which I think works well. Just because that way, you know, there's not like a combined blind spot for us. So I'm glad that Dai appeals to you. I also think you should totally write fan fiction, Dai fan fiction based off of Die Hard, but you spell it like D-A-I. So it's like A Good Day to Die Hard.
That's awful.
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
And it would be, it would obviously be a Christmas fanfic because Die Hard's a Christmas movie. Yeah. So.
But seriously, you should do that. And it's just Bruce Willis. You just took a Bruce Willis photo and you gave him Die's hair.
That's it. Like, that's what I would do. Like, I would totally Photoshop Die's hair and his headband onto him.
Yeah. So there you go. That's my 2 cents. I think you should write Bruce Willis Die Hard Dino DeBoken fanfic.
I think that's a good place to call it for the week. once we get to that point, it's all downhill.
Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at Dragon Quest FM. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/DragonQuestFM. And you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. If you want to talk to me directly, you can totally do that. I'm on Twitter at Dragon Quaston. You can read my regular Dragon Quest blog. That's at DragonQuestAustin.com. And you can listen to me on my other podcast, JRPGs and Me.
You buffoon. You can find me on Twitter as at Professor Beej. You can listen to my other podcast, the Geek to Geek podcast, at geektogeekcast.com. And you can go see all of the other content on our media network, the Geek to Geek Media Network, at geektogeekmedia.com. We do have a Discord and a Slack server, and we would absolutely love it to be able to talk to y'all on it. So go check out the links at geektogeekmedia.com, and let's be friends.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye, y'all.